Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the first episode of the Clear My Skin podcast. This podcast is dedicated to research practices and experiences that aim to help clear one's skin of skin conditions, such as acne, but in a natural way. I share loads of nutrition facts, findings about cosmetics and procedures, and in general, different themes that will help your clear your skin in a natural way. Before we move forward, there's an important disclaimer I need to make, and that is that I'm not a doctor of any sort, and I'm not an esthetician. I'm just someone who has been struggling with acne for more than 10 years without any success of curing it with traditional methods. So I decided to start this podcast as a way for me to actually document my journey. So let's get into it. This first episode is dedicated to different factors that could be causing your acne or making it worse. Why? Because oftentimes when you go into the dermatologist's office, and probably this is something that a lot of you, my fellow acne sufferers will relate to out there. When you go to the dermatologist's office, they oftentimes just label it as acne vulgaris and they move on. While the diagnosis may be true, they most often than not try to treat a symptom rather than the actual cause. And the thing is that I've really learned the hard way after, I think, close to 13 years of trial and error. So I thought that actually this topic of talking a little bit about the different factors that can cause or influence your acne is going to be super beneficial because I wish someone told me this years ago rather than me having to find everything out very slowly for myself over the years. I think that it's important to start talking more and more about these different factors because to a large extent, there has been so much research out there that has proven that a lot of these factors are major causes for acne or influence your acne. And specifically, the type of acne that I'm talking about in this episode is mostly related to adult acne, as teenage acne is a bit of a different story since it really is about the development of a person, as well as the, you know, their hormones are all over the place, but that's a natural process. While it's a natural process, of course, I think that teens can also look into all of these factors mentioned in this episode because I know what type of struggle it is to be in a place where you can't get rid of something so obvious and something that's really bothering you and something that is causing you confidence issues. And I think regardless of whether or not you're a teenager or you are an adult suffering from acne, in any case, it is some sort of a sign that there is something off with your body because the skin is the largest organ. And a lot of people often say that the skin is kind of the last stop when there's some sort of inflammation going on in your body. And it's kind of like throwing out everything towards the end. So this is the end stop of it all. So I think it's an interesting way to look at treating your acne. And it's a big mindset shift because it's not just about how you look, because if it's just about how you look, and this is a mistake that I've made for many years, which is trying to treat a symptom actually, rather than the actual cause. For many years, because I was so focused on the outside look of things rather than to think about the bigger chain of events here. So there is something going on with your body that results in your acne. That being said, I'm going to try to keep this episode as short, but as punchy and practical as possible so you can get the most out of it and move on with your day. But I do think that it's a very valuable episode because these five different factors that I'm going to mention here could really set you off and, start off your journey for finding out what is the reason for your acne and how you can actually treat that for yourself. So, first things first, if there is one thing that I can say to everybody, again, regardless actually of age, that you should do, that I can advise you to do if you're suffering from acne and you want to find out why so you can treat it accordingly, that is hormones. It does not matter actually what age you are. It does not matter what the situation is with your acne. I think actually step one would be to go and test your hormones. It took me about 26 years to realize this, and to come to a point where I understood that it's actually quite important to first see and test your body for different things and kind of figure out what's going wrong. And a big part of, what's going wrong when it comes to acne is actually hormones. There's, I think, about five different hormones, especially for the ladies out there, just speaking from personal experience, that are related to your menstrual cycle, that are related to your fertility and such, that should be tested. And this is something that your doctor can give you more advice on, specifically probably a dermatologist or your personal GP. I will probably get into this a little bit more in depth in another episode. That should be tested, as well as different types of hormones related to the thyroid and adrenal glands that are worth looking into. Because if you go into a blood test, it's basically, you can find out what your results are by doing a simple blood test. You can find out a lot about your body. That being said, keep in mind that these tests, a lot of them, you really do need to consult your doctors about it, because some of them need to be taken on a specific day of your period. It might be a little bit different for men, I'm not completely sure. But if there's one thing that I can honestly say, is step one, trying to figure out your acne issues and why they are there, you should start with your hormones. Honestly, I wish someone told me that 5 years ago at least, because it's been a long journey of me trying to live healthier and, cut out certain things from my diet, experiment with that, try different creams and so on, before actually looking in really deep into the body and seeing why this is happening. Given that I'm in my mid-20s, having an adult acne is not really normal anymore. So, I just kind of started to shift my perspective from I want to clear, the acne that I currently have, which is actually not that severe. However, I would not specify it as a minor one either. I think it's somewhere in the middle of the spectrum, but it's been an ongoing problem for more than a decade, as I already mentioned. So I thought, okay, I think actually the perspective needs to be different in the sense that it's not about just getting rid of the scars or getting rid of the inflammation or the redness, or the fading and appearing breakouts. It's more about actually treating and thinking about my body and what's not going 100% great in there. So once you actually consult with your doctors and they give you the list and a prescription of certain hormones that you need to test, you go, you get a blood test, you get the results, I think, relatively fast, depending on where you are in the world. Maybe the amount of time is going to vary. And then I think the best next step is to actually go to a very good specialist, meaning endocrinologist. I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, because it's a difficult word. But basically, these are doctors that specialize in hormones, and they can give you a little bit more of a different idea of what is actually going on. Because oftentimes, you might require extra tests to be taken so they can figure out what's going on, and they can give you a prescription based on that. There's a lot of talk, I think, out there when it comes to hormonal imbalance, and probably if you speak to your girlfriends, you're going to find out that a lot of them are dealing with PCOS or, have had some sort of a hormonal imbalance in their lives. I think that most people have a hormonal imbalance in their lives at some point. But there is a difference between hormonal imbalance and hormonal imbalance, mostly because everybody, has different ways that their bodies work and their hormones are different, and hormonal balance might mean one thing for one person and another thing for another. So that's why it's actually not that great to just sit here and give you, tips how to balance your hormones or do this or do that without you knowing first what's wrong with your body, because an endocrinologist is the person who can give you an actual diagnosis of what's going on, because it might not be connected to PCOS. It could be connected to your thyroid, or it could be connected to your adrenal glands. So it's just a very long process of, well, maybe not that long, but it's just a very important process to start. The reason why I think this is a great first step is because once you figure that out, you can start treating what is going on with your body the correct way. As I already just mentioned, there can be a lot of reasons and a lot of ways to treat your hormonal imbalance, and just going on YouTube to research more about that, I think is a great step. However, I've noticed that there are a lot of YouTubers out there as well who share their personal journey, which is amazing and I find very inspirational, don't get me wrong, but a lot of people say like, "Oh, I tried vitamin A," or "I tried, taking retinol orally, this and this and that, and it cured my acne." While this could be, all of these different tips could be a way for you to solve the reasons that you have acne, it does not necessarily mean that this is what's right for you. So if you do, for example, start taking vitamin A, but you don't have a vitamin A deficiency or any problem with that, or you take, supplements and ingredients that are aiming to solve your hormonal imbalance because you think it's related to PCOS, but actually it's not, that could do more damage to your body than actually good. So I think it's worth investing just a little bit of money to go and get yourself checked out because it is about health. And yeah. So if there's one thing, basically, bottom line that you should take from this episode today is that if you're suffering from adult acne, especially, or any type of skin issue, I think, like eczema or such, you should first start by trying to test your hormones, and consult yourself with doctors that you trust, so they can give you the right, direction that you should head into to test your hormones, because those are the people that really know what could be potentially going wrong once they have the results. And one last thing, I am a person who is a big fan of treating things in a natural way. When it comes to hormones, it might not always be possible to do that in a natural way. However, that being said, once you get your results and once you get your diagnosis, I think it's very important, even probably from the get-go, to speak to your endocrinologist and to explain to them that you are someone who is very much a believer in the natural way of treating things when it comes to your body, and explaining to them that you've done your research to a certain extent and you know that there are a lot of ways out there to treat hormonal imbalance and to get your hormones back in check by taking natural supplements. Or by doing, basically incorporating lifestyle changes, such as meditation, and stress management, sleep, certain type of dietary restrictions, or just a different type of diet that you need to have to balance your hormones. Because if you keep on repeating that to your doctor, there is a good chance that that there might be a solution for you to get your hormones back in check in a natural way. And even if that person still gives you the medication, of course, it might be necessary for you to take it. So don't go off on, depending on how serious it is as well. Maybe there is no way to treat it naturally because hormones are a very complicated system. However, it's always good for you to do your own research. And if you are very hesitant to take specific medication because you do not trust your doctor, for example, or because you really, really want to do it in a natural way, you can always get a second opinion from another very experienced and knowledgeable endocrinologist out there. Okay, so that was point one. Now, moving on to the second factor. I think a very, very, very big one here is also diet and different types of food intolerances that you might have. There is so much information out there nowadays, actually, that is not that easy. Like, it's not the first thing that comes to mind, I think, still in this day and age when it comes to acne. However, diet has had such an immense impact. Or can have such an immense impact on your acne. It's absolutely insane. I think that there is a reason why, we are st like even doctors, even when you go to dermatologist, they don't talk about diet and different types of food intolerances that you have. You might have, But that is something super important to talk about. I really do believe that I think hormones and diet could be just the two major factors in your life, especially if you have adult acne that could be causing it or at least making it worse. So, because in the essence of it all, I think that hormones and diet could cause a lot of, inflammation and a lot of disbalance in your body. So it makes all the more sense, especially when we shift the perspective from treating just the outside to actually treating the inside first. So when it comes to diet, I think I'm definitely going to have another episode that really dives deep into this because there's just so much once you start digging, but you do have to start digging to learn more about this, really. There's just so much research out there that shows, especially dairy, that dairy is very, very, very connected to acne. Also, if you go on YouTube, again, I'm referencing YouTube because I think I spent a lot of time there looking for people who have successfully managed to cure their acne in a natural way. And I've been very curious as to how they've done it. And a lot of people actually share that once they cut out dairy from their diet, it was such a game changer for them. Once I started digging a lot more into the topic of dairy, basically, I've become a little bit obsessed when it comes to nutrition, and our bodies and diet and acne. I just started finding out so many studies out there that show how dairy is very heavily related to acne. I think that a lot of researchers out there are also hesitant to specifically say that it is causing acne because that necessarily might not be the case. However, it's probably making it worse for the simple reason that at some point, actually, a lot of humans do not, once a certain age is passed, we don't necessarily need to have dairy. You might not be at all intolerant to dairy. However, one of the reasons why cow milk is specifically very problematic is because of the different bacteria that it has inside, as well as if you think about it, pretty much a large chunk of what you buy from the store is, has a lot of chemicals in it. It has a lot of problems in it, especially with cows. Cows tend to have a lot of different hormones in them as well before, you eat, well, their, produce in terms of dairy or their meat. So it could affect your body really negatively in the sense that there is a lot of knowledge out there that, the cows that are being treated are not, the cows that are being used for milk, for example, are being pregnant, which already suggests a lot of problems. Those animals in general, whether it's cows or it's chickens, or it's pigs, they are treated in a very unnatural way. So of course their own hormones are going crazy before they're being you use them for dairy, for example, or for meat. So in general, dairy is a very tricky one, and I think you just need to really find out about yourself whether or not you have problems with dairy. I personally have noticed that dairy is not necessarily my friend. I'm yet to get tested for food intolerance because this is something super important for me. And however, I've noticed that when I eat dairy, the first thing that happens to me is that my stomach starts to make really, really crazy sounds. And I have noticed a certain amount of pimples popping up, for example, afterwards. And I think that there is some connection there. And the other thing being said, is that actually it could be just cow milk that is very problematic for acne. And you might, if you have a problem with cow milk, you might not have a problem with, for example, goat milk in the sense of goat cheese. So it's very important to find out specifically what irks you and your body when it comes to diet and food intolerances. Another big one is actually gluten. There's a lot of research out there that suggested that gluten is just really, really bad for acne, but it really, really depends. I think that I personally might not have a problem with gluten. Again, I'm yet to be tested. In any case, gluten is something that you should look into because I know from a fact and from a lot of friends that I have that a lot of them are struggling with gluten intolerances, which results in different types of inflammation in the body. So even if you didn't have, if you have some type of skin condition, even if it's not acne, even if it's, eczema or something else, or you are even struggling with weight, it could be an allergic reaction or some sort of reaction to gluten in your body. So that's worth checking out. In general, when it comes to sugar, has been also heavily linked to acne and influencing it in a negative way. So if you can cut out in general any types of processed foods and processed sweets and all that, it's good to keep that in mind. When we talk about sugar, when I talk about sugar here, I'm not necessarily referencing sugar that comes from fruits, because that is natural glucose and it does, like, your body process it in a different way. However, of course, too much of anything is not really great for your body, so or could be potentially harming. So of course you do need to keep things in check. But in any case, I think that even if you don't have acne, even if you're the healthiest person alive, too much sugar, processed sugar is not great for anybody. It's not great for your health, it's not great for your weight, it's not great for your skin, which just means ideally just cut out sugar and leave those sweets behind you as much as possible. Of course, don't cut out things completely out of your life, otherwise life is going to be very, very boring. But don't pound like a block of chocolate every single day and like get a chocolate milkshake every other day and stuff. I think that that's a really helpful tip here. The last but not least problematic factor when it comes to diet, it could be meat. And I actually, of course, there's a lot of studies out there that show, again, another connection between meat and acne. Not as much as dairy, however, I think the problem with meat might not be the actual meat. However, it could be what we consider meat in the store and what is actually going into the meat that we're buying from the stores. So there's a lot of hormones, as I already explained, the whole like cow example, whether that's pregnant cows or animals that are stressed before they get slaughtered, because that also releases certain hormones in their bodies, like cortisol, which is again really problematic for the body if it's in excess, and it is linked in certain way to different types of health issues. So getting the meat from the stores, because of the hormones, because of the antibiotics that they give it, because of so many different factors, it could be not so great for you. Of course, there are a lot of different documentaries out there that also talk about whether or not meat is necessary for humans in the first place. I am not an expert. Again, I'm not a nutritionist, I'm not a doctor, I'm not an esthetician. I cannot tell you 100% what this is all about. I personally still eat meat. However, I have personally noticed that when I cut out dairy and when I cut out meat and when I cut out sugar as much as possible from my diet, my skin really clears up. And by clears up, I mean the inflammation gets less and I don't get as many breakouts. I think my dietary breakouts mostly happen on my forehead and like around my eyes. And if it's meat and it hasn't been great meat, like I'll see this all around my jaw and my chin, which is where you normally get pimples, especially if you are like if you have some sort of hormonal, imbalance, or there's excess hormones in your body. So I think that's actually something that's related for me personally. However, you might not have any problems with that. I think there's a lot of people also online that if you start researching again on YouTube, a lot of people say that once they went vegan, their acne went away. So it really is super important to find out what and how your body reacts to food. And that brings me to my next point, which is I think it's so worth it to invest in food intolerance tests. So basically, those tests could be done either via blood draw or via your hair. You send them off to a certain lab and they test you for a variety of, foods and different types of like vitamins and such that you might be deficient in, or you might have too much of, or you just might not be very, you might not be reacting well to. And I think this is very important. For example, I had a colleague who got tested with one of those food intolerance tests with the hair. And she found out, for example, that she is absolutely intolerant to tomatoes. And that's someone who ate tomatoes their whole life. She didn't have like a visible allergic reaction or anything to it on the outside. However, her body was dealing with some level of inflammation on the inside because she was eating something that was completely not good for her. However, she had no way of knowing that. So I think that food intolerance tests are super, super useful. It's difficult to recommend the best ones because I think that what's worth looking into is food intolerance tests when it comes to blood and when it comes to hair. And that is something that you should specifically research for your own area, and you should talk to people that you know maybe about it, because it really depends where you're based. I'm based in Europe, I'm actually planning to do one food intolerance test by blood and one food intolerance test by hair. If you're really interested in this, of course, just send me a message and I'll let you know what I'm using specifically for Europe. And while we're still on the diet train, I really want to talk a little bit about the low glycemic diet. If you're not familiar what low glycemic diet means, it's basically the glycemic index indicates how high in carbs certain food is and like how much it's going to spike your blood sugar. So again, there's been a lot of research out there that's mentioned that and that has found that low glycemic diets could actually really, really help with acne sufferers. I hate this word, actually, acne sufferers, with people who are dealing with acne, because it does not spike your sugar and blood sugar, and it's somehow related to also potentially, insulin resistance and acne, and again, it kind of ties back with your hormones. So there's a lot of links there. If you're really, really interested, like I'm more than happy to provide you with a lot of written research about this, and I'm probably going to have a different episode specifically talking about the low glycemic diet and how it relates to acne. So stay tuned. But basically, if you want to scratch your itch right now, I would say go online and just research in Google Scholar specifically, not just Google, what low glycemic diet is and how it's related to acne. Because the idea is that every type of food out there has a glycemic number, like a glycemic index, and you can find out for each food, how much that is. So, for example, low glycemic diet kind of excludes things such as normal potatoes and white pasta, all types of like processed sugary foods because they spike your blood sugar really, really fast. But foods like sweet potatoes, pretty much any type of vegetable, even certain dairy products, and so on and so on. Like they have a low glycemic index, which means that they don't spike your sugar as fast because they're also just processed by the body in a little bit in a slower way. So that gives your body time to like properly digest and sort out the food that's going into your body. So I would highly recommend looking into the low glycemic diet and finding out whether or not that's a suitable solution for you, because it could be worth at least even experimenting with it. An example is I just found out that I have a little bit, well, not a little bit, but I mean, I have some hormones that are a little bit off. And the endocrinologist, it's a very difficult word for me to pronounce, she basically told me until I have the final results of all the different tests that I still need to also make, and before we have a diagnosis, it is always actually a good, thing to do when you have acne is to follow a low glycemic diet, and kind of customize that to yourself because it could be really beneficial for you and your body. And in general, like if you eat healthy and It's not going to be that big of a deal for you because low glycemic diet includes a lot of great nutritious foods for you that you're probably already eating if you're eating like very mindfully and very healthy. So it's just more about like becoming aware of which foods, even the healthy ones, could be spiking your blood sugar. And also when talking about low glycemic diet, you need to kind of research a little bit more to find out how a combination of different food groups affect your body. So for example, if you eat something like a normal potato, your blood sugar could be spiked more if compared to if you eat a little bit of, normal potato together with some healthy fats like avocado, for example, and some protein like lentils. So, that last combination could actually not spike your blood sugar very much. So it's not just about the glycemic index of a food, but it's also about how it interacts and plays, let's say, with other foods and how it affects your blood sugar. Last but not least, I think I said this for a second time. It's just something that I forgot. When it comes to diet and different types of like food situations in your body, you should consider probiotics. Probiotics is basically good bacteria for your gut. There is just so much research out there that shows the importance of eating healthy and eating well and, nurturing the good bacteria in your gut. It's called actually the gut skin axis as well, and the gut microbiome. And like it's so actually related to your skin. Even if you don't have severe acne, or if you have severe acne, even if you have different types of skin issues, it is so worth investigating your diet and investigating what works and doesn't work for you and just incorporating more of the good stuff in a natural way to get yourself, to the place that you want to. Because in any case, having a good diet, even if it's not necessarily affecting your diet, your acne so much, it's still going to be so beneficial for you and your health and your mental and physical health. And just like, please look into it. But basically, probiotics is the good bacteria that feeds your gut, and you can also get supplements for it. However, you should do a little bit of research as to what types of probiotics are out there. It could be something like yogurt, specifically Bulgarian yogurt, because of the bacteria that it has inside, or it could be, something like kimchi, like sauerkraut, so many different foods out there. And, if you want to take a pill, that's also, I think, relatively okay. You just need to research which ones are okay. But if you want to do it in a natural way, the way I like to normally do it is to just kind of like get more of these foods into my body, because there's also, I think, when you take a reasonable amount of natural probiotics, you don't risk of like doing something that's not really great for your body. So, for example, I would drink like a shot of sauerkraut juice like every day when I have it, or I would like drink kombucha, have a little bit of kimchi here and there. And yeah, so because as I said, like I try to avoid dairy as much as possible. So this is where we're at. I think, look at the different problematic food groups, look at a food intolerance test, and how you can test yourself and what type of tests are out there in your region to find out what you're not dealing great with and your body's not really dealing great with when it comes to food. Look into low glycemic diet, especially if you have acne, and also think about probiotics. I think that probiotics are always just a great option, especially when taken in the natural way. It doesn't matter how severe or non-severe or your condition, skin condition is, it's always great to have some proper food. To have some proper probiotics in your body. And those are the two biggest factors so far that took the most time to go through, but I think it's worth it because I really, really wish that someone told me all of this years ago. And now the third factor is actually climate. Here I can go a little bit faster, but basically the gist of it is to kind of start noticing how your skin behaves in warmer and more humid climates compared to more moist climates. I think there's a big correlation there between, whether you go to Singapore or Sicily or even the Netherlands, or California, for example, where the weather and the climate is quite different than in places like the Nordics or even the East Coast in the States, or South America. So the idea is that I have personally noticed, and when I talk to a lot of people, that their skin tends to get better in more like humid climates and sunny, warmer climates, not necessarily because of the sun, but just because of the humidity. I think it's just the thing with moisture and moisture being locked into your skin more easily and the skin being able to breathe, which to me actually makes absolute sense. I think pollution is another big one. So if you live in a very big city and you know that pollution is not great, that could be another factor that's contributing to your acne, or even causing it sometimes, especially if it's not, if it's not something that you've struggled with for a very long time, or you have, depending on how long you've lived in the city. The thing is that when it comes to climate and the place that you live in, I totally understand that there's not much you can do about it. However, I think that if you think that there is any like correlation for you and your skin, when it comes to climate, one thing you can do is actually look into air purifiers for your house. That could be super nice to help, at least while you're at home, to lock things into your skin, like the good moisture in your skin, and like not dry it out extra, especially if you live in a less humid place. And for pollution specifically, it really matters the things that you put on your face during the day. So actually concealer, like foundation, sorry, not concealer, foundation is not that bad at all for your skin if you use the right one, which, doesn't have specific oils or, parabens and so on. So if you use really good foundation for your skin, actually in a way it's a good thing because all the pollution and crap that you might have in your city, a lot of it is actually going to stick to the foundation. So when you wash your face at night, like it's not going to directly go to your pore. And it's going to kind of like the foundation is going to kind of block a lot of this. Of course, not all of it, but a lot of it. So actually, it's not that bad at all to do this. So you just need to be very cautious about what type of products you use in your face. And also, I think when it comes to pollution, it's very important to wash your face properly at night. Especially like once you take off your makeup and stuff, because that could really help. And then maybe certain things like exfoliation and, just always wearing the right protective layer on your face could really help. And it's interesting because when it comes to humidity specifically, like quickly going back to this one, I think now it's becoming more and more of a factor recognized by a lot of skincare brands. And for example, I'm a big Pharrell, sorry, fan. English is not my native language. So Pharrell, the singer, because I'm happy you, he just launched a skincare brand. Of course, he is like, I think 50 something, and he looks 20. He's probably looking younger now than most of, like, well, younger than me, definitely, and than most of the people that I know that are in their 20s. However, one of the things that I found really, really interesting is that one of the creams, the moisturizing creams that he pr was promoting, I haven't tried it, I don't know, but he was promoting a moisturizing cream that actually focuses on locking in moisture in your face as if you are living in a very humid climate, which I thought was actually great, and I'd love to try this out one day. But in any case, just the moral of the story is just start trying to recognize how your skin behaves, especially when you change environments, because that could be a big sign that climate is a big one for you. Number four factor. The creams and everything else that you put on your face. So this is a very long one. I can't tell you necessarily whether or not, like, what type of products are good or what type of products are bad. I can go a very general here because again, it matters so much on the type of skin condition that you have, the type of skin that you have, the type of products that you've tried, how much time you've given them to like really work on your face, what type of ingredients they have inside, and how they relate to your body. But I think one thing for you to start really looking into is specifically to like turn and learn. I think that's one good advice that I can really give here is to just start looking at the table of ingredients for the creams and the cleansers and the makeup that you use, and to just kind of start finding out for yourself like what works and what doesn't. I think I'm probably going to make a separate episode where I talk about the generally bad ingredients that we should avoid in different creams and cleansers and makeup and all that. However, that being said, there's just so many brands out there and there's so many creams for different reasons. A lot of them are like completely not working. Some of them are working. It really depends on what type of skin condition you have and so on. Of course, the more natural that you can go, the better. I personally believe that. However, certain cases require more chemical recipes, so to say, for a specific cream, because, especially if you're dealing with really, really, really severe acne, we cannot also deny the fact that there is a bacteria in the face. So it is on the topical side of things as well. It's not just only from the inside out, it's also a certain level of inside in, sorry, outside in. So on the outside, you really do need to also consider what your situation is. And of course, you can consult yourself with a dermatologist, but I would definitely say first investigate the internal things. See what that means for you, and then like try to do not super invasive things for your skin on top, like benzoyl peroxide, because I personally do not believe in this at all. I know it must have worked for some certain people out there since, a lot of them have been prescribed that. However, oof, no, I don't know. I think the one advice I can give you here is turn and learn. And another, the fifth factor here is how you actually clear, like how you clean your skin. It could be a big one as well, because I know that there's still a lot of people who suffer from acne, and I've heard this from friends, like they suffer from acne and they go to bed with makeup on. For my 26 years of life so far, I doesn't matter how drunk I've been or how tired I've been, there has not been a situation where I've went to bed without like washing my makeup and washing my makeup properly. And by washing my makeup properly, again, I think it could be a very different like meaning for different people. I'm probably gonna have another episode on do's and don'ts when it comes to washing your makeup. But what I can tell you is that it's becoming more and more known that you should actually not wash your face with like makeup wipes or micellar water, but you should use specific types of like oils, because oil pulls oil, but it has to be the right one and it has to be by a good brand, so it actually is working for you. And as the next thing to mention here is that you should probably have a second step after, when you take off your makeup to really, really cleanse your skin, because if you wear makeup on a daily basis, and I think a lot of you folks out there like me who have acne probably wear makeup on a daily basis when you have to go out in front of people and you wear foundations and such, like it's good to do a second step of like cleansing your face, because it's not only pollution that you're cleaning and just makeup, but it's just all these like processes that happened on the surface of your skin, because of the different temperatures and how your skin like reacts to makeup and stuff. So you just don't want to clog up those pores extra if you're already suffering from acne anyways. And that being said, it turned out to be actually be a longer episode than I anticipated. However, I really, really hope that this was useful, at least for even one person out there. And I hope that you embark on your own journey of finding out how to clear your skin in a natural way, because I think that there's just so many dermatologists out there who, directly jump to things like Accutane or benzoyl peroxide, which it's basically antibiotics, like oral and topical, and they can do more damage to your body than, what you're, yeah, than actually good. And the thing is that you really need to figure out for yourself, first from the inside out, what is causing this acne, especially if you are past your teens and you've exited puberty, and like, why is this lingering and what's going on? Because just treating the surface is never really going to be an answer. So start by checking your hormones and your diet. Think about climate, and start getting to know your skin and how it reacts in different situations. Start turning and learning when it comes to ingredients for the creams that you use and makeup that you use for your face, and also become very mindful about how you clean your skin. Well, those are just five factors, but they are big ones, especially the first two. So, what I'm going to leave you with right now is I hope this was helpful. I hope this was useful. And if you have any questions or you'd like me to share some research with you based on all the things that I just mentioned here, I would more than love to. Stay tuned for the next episodes of the Clear My Skin podcast, and I can't wait to keep on engaging with you guys, and just let's clear our skins naturally.